Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore and they sat down and they collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. The gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and let us pray. And now, O God, may the words which I speak, the thoughts that we think together, the actions that we would take as a result, be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever come right up to the point of making a key decision in your life and then backed away to your regret later on? Perhaps it was the opportunity to land a new job or to change careers, to further your education, to purchase your dream home, to propose marriage, or to share your faith. And that moment confronted you, it made your heart beat faster, yet you paused. A voice in your head quietly said, don't be hasty, don't do anything rash, there's plenty of time to think this over. And while you dithered, circumstances changed, and suddenly it was too late. The opportunity never came around again in quite the same way. I remember very clearly sitting in my home office back in the maybe mid to late 90s, and I'd heard of a little online bookseller that was starting to branch out into other markets, and it just happened to be about the time when they conducted their initial public stock offering. And I remember thinking, wow, this could be the future of shopping. Maybe I should buy a few shares, you know? And then I also remembered that there was a company located, headquartered in the city I was living at the time, and it was a delivery company, and I thought, you know, somebody's going to have to deliver all of those packages. Maybe I should buy a share of that company, too, on just a few, you know, shares of each. But then I thought, well, yeah, no, those companies might fail. You could lose your investment. You better play it safe. I'll keep my money in the bank where I know it will steadily earn 0.9% compounded annually. Of course, as you've guessed, the two companies I had in mind were the United Parcel Service and Amazon. Now, a few years back, I made the mistake. I should have never done this, but I made the mistake of crunching the numbers to ponder what the investment that I had thought about making back then and just see where it would have grown in. I didn't even count the stock splits. I just looked at the stock price, and it was painful. It was painful to calculate the missed opportunity. And while, as those of you who know me well know that I am still a very risk-averse person, that experience impressed upon me the truth of what the hockey great Wayne Gretzky once famously said, you miss 100% of the shots you do not take. Today in our gospel lesson, Jesus presents for us four kingdom parables about the risk and the reward of the kingdom of God. And the first two stories show us the importance of risking all that we have in order that we might garner the great gains of God's kingdom. The third parable alludes to the dangers, to the risks of not investing our lives in God's kingdom. And the fourth parable shows us the great treasures that are to be had in God's kingdom. And as our New Testament lesson then goes on, it provides us assurances. It's in effect telling us that our investment in the kingdom of God is backed up by an airtight guarantee that we cannot lose when we invest our whole lives into God's kingdom. As we've learned over the course of the last 2 weeks, the concept of the kingdom of God is central to Matthew's gospel. In fact, Matthew carefully recorded Jesus' teaching about the kingdom, and then he prominently placed it right here in chapter 13, right about the middle of the gospel. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Steve explained to us the parable of the sower, encouraging us to be receptive to God's word. Last week, we examined the parable of the wheat and the weeds, and we considered how we are supposed to live in this imperfect world between the two comings of Jesus Christ. And today, our gospel lesson begins with a parable of a real estate transaction. It moves quickly to a parable of a merchant, then to a fishing metaphor, and then it concludes finally with a mixed metaphor focusing on a homeowner. And it's easy for us to get lost in the rapid fire layering upon layer of metaphor. But if we stop and ask for just a minute, what is the last part of Matthew 13 about? We see a common thread that quickly comes into view. We see a common thread that can be summed up under the heading, Four Essentials of Embracing the Kingdom. Matthew has carefully recorded Jesus' teaching on the subject so that we can understand them, so that we can implement them into our lives. And to put it succinctly in our gospel lesson today, Jesus is teaching these four essential elements. He's saying, first, we need to seek. Second, we need to sacrifice. Third, we need to grow in our understanding. And finally, we need to share. Seek, sacrifice, understand, and share. We're going to look at each one of those very briefly this morning. The first essential is to seek. Notice that Jesus first presents two parables of seeking and finding. And the first one is often called the parable of the treasure hidden in a field. The second is called the parable of the pearl of great price. And notice in the second parable that the merchant is the one who's actively looking for a fine pearl. He knows what he is looking for, and he immediately recognizes the pearl's great value when he comes across it. Yet by contrast, in the first parable, the parable of the hidden treasure in the field, we aren't told that the man is actively looking for anything. Most of the scholars that I consulted think that Jesus is positing a situation in which a hired hand is working in the field of his employer. It's just an ordinary day, and yet he stumbles upon this hidden treasure, and he immediately recognizes the great value of his find and the opportunity that's before him. All of us in this room, all of us watching via live stream, and indeed every human being, is depicted by either of those two situations, the merchant and the laborer. We are all seekers of one sort or another. Everyone is seeking to find an answer to the challenges of this life. And some, like the merchant, they're intentional about it. They are seeking spiritual truth, and they're on a personal quest to make sense of their lives and to bring value to it. And then others are like the man in the first parable, simply trying to get through each day, working for the weekend, unaware that in the field in which they have labored for days, perhaps for even years, there is a life-changing treasure just up ahead, just beneath the surface. So I wonder, which one are you? Which one are you? I imagine that most of us in this room are more like the second situation. We know real treasure when we see it because we have been blessed to be exposed to the truths of God from an early age. Parents or grandparents took us to church and they read Bible stories to us while we sat on their laps. They taught us scripture songs. a faint echo of the gospel narrative could still be heard in the culture in which most of us were raised. And yet, many others around us are not quite so fortunate. I think we need to be especially sensitive to their spiritual search, even those we might deem completely unsanctified, completely unspiritual. Several decades ago, an author named Bruce Marshall, he once wisely wrote this. He said, "Even the young man who rings the bell at the brothel is unconsciously searching for God." We need to pray. We need to pray that the eyes of unconscious seekers might be opened to the opportunity of God's kingdom. We need to pray and we need to work so that this church can be a place where we can help others unearth the truth that lies just right in front of them. Perhaps most importantly, we need to be vigilant in our own search. Let us always be looking for God's truth, both in the places where we would expect it, in His Word, in sacraments, in worship, and also in the places where we might not expect to find it. The field of daily life, the daily encounters that we have with other people. And second, notice that when the seeking results in a successful find, there is a decisive sacrificial purchase that takes place. In each of these two parables, the worker in the field and the merchant, they go all in. They sell everything they have in able to obtain the great treasure that is there before them. You see, the kingdom of God is not just a nice to have. It's not just, oh, you're religious, that's great, I'm glad that works for you, that's your truth, but no, it's not mine. No. It's not like that. It's not like that optional sport package that's on that new car that you've been eyeing. It's not like that room addition that you've been pondering, oh, it'd be so great, you know, the grandkids could come over, it'd be awesome. It's not like that vacation that you're planning once the pandemic has run its course. No, embracing the kingdom of God is a must-have. Too often, I think we're weak in our spiritual lives. Our churches languish because we approach the development of our relationship to Christ as just sort of an ancillary concern rather than what it truly must be. The absolute center of our existence for which we would happily sacrifice everything. 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 It's what the Apostle Paul talks about when he says, he gives his sort of his resume later in the New Testament, and he says, I count it all as rubbish to gain Christ. You know, I think if we would carefully look over our calendars, our credit card statements, our checkbook register, our internet search histories, even our casual conversations, our priorities would be revealed. And I wonder what they would look like. Have we gone all in for the kingdom of God? Are we fully embracing it? Are we weaving His truth into the warp and woof of our lives each day? So first, seek His kingdom with all you got. Secondly, sacrificially surrender to those kingdom priorities. And third, grow in your understanding of the kingdom. None of us understands it perfectly. We'll be seeking to understand it all the days of our lives. Jesus moves on to the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price to this parable of a net. And I think that parable teaches the same message we heard last week with the wheat and the weeds, that in the time period between the two advents of Christ, we encounter both good and evil. You don't need me to tell you that. We swim in a polluted lake that is filled with both good and bad fish. But Scripture assures us there will come a day of judgment. The risk of not embracing our Lord and His kingdom far outweighs all of the risk and cost that we incur when we do. The imagery of a fisherman sorting out the fish, it's symbolic of the Son of Man sitting on the Bema seat, the judgment seat, at the end of the age. Now, I admit, I know that is not a popular message, but it is one that is true nonetheless if we're faithful to the words of Scripture. Jesus Christ will, as we profess every week, come to judge the living and the dead. And of course, in the meantime, we need to remember that Jesus is the judge and not us. Our task isn't to sort out the good fish from the bad, but simply to grow in our understanding of the kingdom and to point other people toward it. Jesus, I think, he seemed to know that his disciples might have trouble making sense of all of these metaphors and parables that he's throwing at them so quickly. And so he asked them, he says, well, do you understand these things? And they reply that they do. If we read the rest of the scripture, the rest of the gospel narrative, we know they really didn't get it. But Jesus sort of takes them at their word at this point. In fact, he builds another metaphor upon the ones that have already come, trying to get them to increase in their understanding of the kingdom and what it's all about. He describes the disciples as scribes and homeowners. They are scribes, that is, teachers of the law, who possess homes. And most importantly, they have old and new treasures in that home. The old treasures are the treasures of the Old Testament that the disciples of Jesus come to fully understand as they view the law and the history and the poetry and the prophets, all of the Old Testament, through the lens of the life and work of Jesus Christ. The new treasures are the teaching of Jesus and the teaching of the apostles. And notice that Jesus doesn't tell his disciples to hide their treasures in the house. He doesn't command them to dig a hole in the backyard and to bury a safe there and keep things secure. Instead, he commands them to share the treasures of the kingdom. He tells them that the owner of the house brings out of his storeroom the old and the new treasures. And we're called to do the same. Not only to store up the treasures of truth of God's kingdom, but to bring them out of the storeroom of our hearts and our minds and bless others through them. That's because I think we only truly possess what we give away. A friend of mine once said, the teacher always learns twice. And I think that's what God wants us to be, teaching others the joys and the truths of God's kingdom, because then it really resides deeply in our hearts and in our spirits. And it is more than worth the risk. That's what the Apostle Paul is laboring to tell us in our New Testament lesson. He's given up everything for Christ. He had been a promising young rabbi. He had a career path ahead of him that only went upwards. He was ready to assume power and position among his people. But as you know, his life dramatically changed when he met Jesus. And by all human appearances, his life did not get better. In many ways, it got worse, much worse. If you read through the book of Acts, you'll see that he faced the perils that he lists right here in our gospel, in our second reading. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, danger, sword. And yet Paul would say, it's worth the trade-off. It's worth the risk. It's worth the expenditure. It's worth the sacrifice. And as he says in our lesson, because in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul says, that nothing, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That love that fills the gaping hole inside of us, that God-shaped void, that is the priceless treasure of the kingdom of God. Years ago, the great preacher Peter Marshall, he asked his congregation this question. He said, now if you were walking down the street and someone came up behind you and tapped you on the shoulder, what would you do? He says, well, naturally you would turn around. And Marshall says, that is exactly what happens in the spiritual world. A person walks through life with the external call ringing in their ears, but no response stirring in their hearts. And then suddenly, without any warning, the Spirit comes and taps them on the shoulder. What happens? She turns around. The churchy word we use that for that is repentance. It simply means to turn around, to turn away from oneself, to turn away from the allurements of this world, and to turn towards Jesus and his kingdom. The tap on the shoulder is the almighty power of God reaching out to a fallen, sinful, broken human being in order to produce a new creature, to lead them into the boundless riches of God's kingdom and to make them whole. God is tapping on the shoulders of many in this room this morning, many more watching via live stream, tapping you on the shoulder, saying it's time, it's time, it's time to turn around. It's time to come to me. My friends, that's an opportunity. An opportunity we dare to.